Greetings, contrarian a-holes, and welcome to yet another episode of Objection, your worldwide leader in contrarian a-holery, as it would happen. I'm Judge Dan Mancini. With me, as always, is Judge David Johnson.
Hello. Hello.
Yes. And Objection is brought to you by DVD Verdict and a generous grant from the Old White Man Cabal.
That's right.
Dominating the world since time immemorial.
Yes.
And today we have, it's not really a special show. Well, it is a special show. It's a show we've been talking about doing for quite a while.
That's right.
Honoring a man who deserves to be honored.
That's right. Does anyone deserve honor more than him? I mean, does he have a street named after him? I don't think so.
He should. Nobody really deserves honor more than him other than another man that we've already honored.
Mr. Harrigan?
Mr. Harrigan, yeah, I guess there's two men who deserve honor more than him. Mr. Harrigan and Mr. Ron Swanson.
Yes, of course.
That's about it, though. Otherwise, this gentleman tops the list. We will get to him momentarily. I do want to throw out there, though, before we get into that, just your opinion on the new brewing storm of controversy over additional changes to Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking about that, too. I saw you had a pretty good back-and-forth conversation with Staley about this, and I've long been kind of a Lucas, not an apologist, but a semi-defender in the fact that he can do whatever he wants to, and the whole ruined my childhood thing is kind of overblown.
Yes.
But this one just really rubbed me the wrong way, I have to say. And maybe it's because he's tinkering with, like, one of my, if not my favorite parts of the entire movie series.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, if anything is going to be so-called sacred and important to my child, that it's just, I mean, that is that whole finale. And of course, you're talking about having Vader scream no while hefting the Empire up and throwing him down the old exhaust port, where
yes,
he presumably collided with Lando's missile, I'm thinking. So, I don't know. This one does, I mean, I don't care about Ewoks blinking. I don't care about stupid CGI animals, you know, walking around. Maz Eisley, I mean, the Han Solo thing is just lame because it's so awkward.
Yeah.
Oh, the shoot,
yes,
the Greedo. So it's just awkward looking and lame. So none of those, but this one really kind of rubbed me the wrong way just because it's just like, I mean, it really is. I think I know why he did it. I know your argument was he wanted to kind of keep it current, but to me, I thought he did it just so he could make some synergy with the no from Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, that particular change I would agree with. I was thinking more in terms of the Ewoks.
Yeah, I really couldn't get. I don't care about that. That's fine. Let him blink. I think it's the no thing, and I think he does it to have it tie with Revenge of the Sith, which is long. I mean, I enjoy that movie a good amount, but that part is pretty brutal to watch. I mean, it's the no.
Yeah.
It's tough. That's tough.
I would agree. And
he does it, and the reason I think he does it that way is because he obviously did it when he plugged in Hayden Christensen in the dream sequence at the end, too.
Which, right.
Again, it's annoying. It's not a game breaker for me. It doesn't even make much sense if you think about it.
It does not make sense.
I mean,
other than the fact that if you're watching all six movies in order, you really wouldn't know what's his name, Sebastian Shaw or whatever the actor's name is.
You know, even
it'd be like, who is this old man who's
But even that person? Though, it doesn't even make sense for the rules set up for why how you turn into a ghost, because it doesn't go.
If you're going to do it, they should have at least put Hayden Christensen in some old makeup so it looked like Hayden.
That's how it would make
old.
That's how it would make sense. That's how it makes.
Right.
So it's like, so I mean, Ewan McGregor doesn't show up there next to Yoda, so you know that.
Sort of like for all his evil, he gets paid off with eternal youth.
That's right.
While Yoda and Obi-Wan,
ancient-ridden Twilight,
wizened, brittle old men for all eternity. You know?
So he's obviously doing that to create some synergy, and it's just so. I mean, I just think so. It's just odd. It's tone deaf in the fact that it's obvious that fans thought that was a really dopey. That was a really dopey moment in Revenge of the Sith.
Yes. Oh.
But he obviously doesn't care. But I think he really is not budging on releasing any of the stuff in the original form. I think he just wants it to be the way he envisions it completely, so, you know, fine. But he knows that there are just people who would love to have it, and they'd be happy to give him money for it, you know?
Yeah, I think it's one of two things. The thing that I argued on Staley's, you know, cluttered up Staley's Facebook wall with.
Yes.
Which is, and this is the being more beneficial to Lucas, giving him the benefit of the doubt, which is that he's more interested in winning young viewers and keeping it, you know, keeping Star Wars kind of magical to them than he is in pleasing old middle-aged farts who are cranky anyway. And I'll say, you know, in comparison, like, my son watching Star Wars is – the special editions to him are as magical to him as they were – as the originals were to me when I was a kid. And having sat down and watched Donner's Superman with him, I can tell you that is not the case with that movie. You know, he appreciates it, likes the story, likes all the things you say, you know, we say you're supposed to most like in movies, the story, the character, the performances, all that kind of stuff. But the special effects, you know, I mean, there's no getting around the fact that he looks at the special effects in Donner Superman and goes, those do not compare to Iron Man whatsoever.
Right.
It does not cast the spell on him, that it did, you know, on me in 1978. And I think that would be true of Star Wars if we were foisting the original non-special editioned versions on little kids today. They'd be like, yeah, you know, it's good and everything, but it's kind of an old farts movie.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I guess I could see some too. I don't think that applies to the whole no thing for Vader.
No. I really no, it does don't, not I mean, apply to that. It applies to the special effects. Now, the other thing, the what I suspect is probably the real reason is that the original versions just have not – they weren't restored in 97. You know, that there were special effect shots that got entirely replaced with digital effects.
Yeah.
And they didn't go back to those film elements and actually
right.
restore
well,
them. So for all we know, they're gone forever. And he couldn't put together a good high-definition version of the original films, even if he wanted to.
Yeah, that's possible. So I guess about, like, the special effects, the visual effects stuff, really, that, like, CGI Yoda, CGI What's-Her-Face singing at the Jabba Palace. I mean... Yeah. Like, I would prefer the practical puppetry. I would prefer that. But I think that supports your – I would support your thesis more, how, you know, kids now are used to the CGI. So now puppetry is, you know, look pretty cheesy. Now, that – I would grant that. But to me, the flashpoint is – and it sounds lame, and it sounds like pretty much it's indicative of everything I hate about pissy fanboys, you know, griping about it. But to me, it just absolutely – just grates the no thing. That's a total quote unquote artistic decision. He's doing that, and to me, it's obvious he's doing that to make it have some kind of synergy to the last of the third movie, which was a dopey plot point anyway. And the fact that it really, I mean, it just there's zero reason I can think of because as a like if you're talking about how things work as a film, just you don't need that. I mean,
to make that connection. You can make the connection.
You can make the connection. I mean, and God bless, it's Prowse behind that mask, right?
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, he's just turning, and you don't see any expressions, but that's all you need, you know?
Right.
And that, I mean, so like when I was a kid watching that, that was incredibly powerful, and it still, you know, it still resonates. Like, it's a bug up my rear end, this one change. I don't give a crap about Wicket blinking his eyes. You know, I don't care about the giant dewbacks running around Mos Eisley or any, you know, the radial explosion from the Death Star, right? That was something new. You know, to me, this is just befuddling to me.
Yeah, I would have hoped that he would have gone the other direction and taken the no out of episode 3. You know, that would be the way to go, because you could just have that scene play out without that no, and it would be fine. You know, his anguish could play out in silence, and okay, that
absolutely that's what he should have done.
Well,
take that out, make them both silent. Why?
It's baffling to me, and you know, that's one of those things where it's one of those completely cliched movie convention things that it never ceases to amaze me how often it is used, even though it's ridiculous. The, you know, bird's eye shot pulling up from the character.
Yeah, right.
Screams no, yelling into the air. It amazes me every time I see it. I think, I can't believe that a director would actually put this in a movie. It's so ridiculous.
Now, you know,
it's so overused.
Now this, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but part of me is thinking like George Lucas's imagination is unrivaled, fine, but maybe as a filmmaker, maybe Star Wars is the exception. You know? Maybe that's what it is. Maybe the first Star Wars is the exception. Maybe he just got lightning in a bottle there. Because when he's got complete control, I mean, I don't hate the prequel trilogy. We've talked about this. I don't hate it as much as people, but I mean, it's certainly, you know, a shell of the original.
That's for sure.
It's
not for our generation.
I mean, an Empire was, Empire is a classic, but that's just, you know, that was a story, and Return of the Jedi was a story. So I don't know if I could trust his actual filmmaker sensibilities, and like, especially with Indiana Jones, the latest Indiana Jones, like as each day goes by, I lose more and more interest in that one. So I don't know.
I like American Graffiti.
There you go.
1138 is okay. As a kind of sci-fi art film.
Right.
I've always been of the opinion that the first Star Wars is, despite what many nerds would tell you, is the best of the three. The best of the six, easily. I think it's better than Empire Strikes Back, just because it's, it's almost like a science fiction art film in terms of, when you go back and look at it historically, in terms of how different it was from any other science fiction movie.
And it certainly kind of set.
Made, it was very experimental at the time.
It set a lot of themes that would be echoed, you know.
Yeah.
And like by Lucas himself, too. Yeah.
So, yeah, I do wish the no had not been inserted in there. It sounds like it is for sure going to be in there.
Yeah.
On the Blu-rays. It's not going to stop me from buying the Blu-rays. However, I will say,
if you
are a nerd who is livid about it, don't buy the Blu-rays.
Yeah.
Stop buying this crap and stop complaining on the internet. You are cluttering up the internet. You've been cluttering up the internet since 1997. We don't care anymore. We understand that you don't like the changes. Let it go. Move on. Become a Star Trek fan. Whatever you need to do to get on with your life, please get on with your life. That's the thing that cracked me up about these complaints is, while I understand the, you know, I would rather not have that change in there, and I'd rather have some things undone, although it's not my choice. It's like these are the people who scream about it are people who have hated every version of this special editions. So it's like, why are you complaining about additional alterations to a movie, to a version of the movie that you already hate to begin with? Just let it go.
Yeah, my issue
find
is
another hobby.
I'm like that. My issue though is, like, my problem is, like, this one really just chafes my butt for some reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And unfortunately, he decides to do it. Like, I've got all the DVDs, all the special edition DVDs, and they're fine. They're great. But unfortunately, he gets this brainstorm, you know, on the eve of the HD releases. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's like, oh, so.
Well, you knew. I mean, I knew going. I could have told you, okay, they're coming out on Blu-ray. It's going to be the first time that all six movies are going to be packaged together. He's going to do some stuff.
Yeah.
Get all one thing instead of two trilogies. Make it all one saga. So I'm probably not as chafed by this one as you are, although it's going to go into the category of the Han shoots first, or what's another one of the changes that I really don't like? I'm trying to think.
See, to me, it's like getting behind. It's trying to understand the motive. Like, this is kind of the fun, the George Lucas motivation behind doing this stuff.
Right.
You know, so like, you know why he added some of the sexier visual effects. You know, he wanted to give the Death Star explosion more pop, you know, make Mos Eisley look a little more inhabited with weirdos, you know, let Yoda look less like a puppet. You know, I can understand these things. The Han Solo thing, I could understand, but it's lame. It's like, I guess for some reason it makes Solo more likable, you know, if his head moves in a weird direction and he kills Greedo or something. You know, I guess that must have been the motivation, right? Like, I haven't lost any sleep with it, but, you know, the motivation is just kind of weird. And this one, to me, the motivation is just ridiculous because it was such a dumb moment in Sith. And it could, I mean, like, anyone could, you know, it's just like sometimes these things happen where just, it'd be nice if just someone mentioned something to Lucas at one point without feeling he would get fired or something.
Right.
Hey, how about no at the end? And it would be powerful and,
yeah,
you know, like, it was
switch it back to Han shot first.
It was actually a decent moment. I mean, the moment itself was he goes crazy, and then I love things flying around, you know, in the Force and all that.
Yeah,
that's not too bad. The Frankenstein moment, whatever. But it's just, it was, you're right. It was,
that's all you need.
It's just laughing
from there, and the connection is obvious. I think that
right.
You know, I mean, I think that's what he's trying to do, is he's trying to make a direct connection between that scene.
Right.
And that now Anakin is taking a different path at the end of the whole saga. But I think that connection is obvious. I don't think you need two no's at the end of part 3 and part 6 in order to make that connection.
Yeah, I guess that's my point. So then, because it's like my all-time favorite moment in all 6 films, you know, it's like,
yeah,
I mean, it really does. I mean, in all honesty, it never fails to like really get me goosebumpy, no matter how many times I've seen that, you know, hefting the Emperor up and tossing him down the chute. You know,
yeah, that's fantastic.
In fact, like, maybe this is just kind of goes to like, I think you're definitely onto something with the generational stuff, you know, because, but nothing the prequel showed me really gave me more of a investment in that relationship. You know, like, I saw enough of the Emperor-Vader relationship in the original trilogy to know that that really meant a lot for him to drop him down the garbage disposal or whatever.
Right.
So I'd be interested to see how the younger generation approaches that with all the three prequels tossed in there, you know, with all the added stuff between Palpatine and, you know, and Anakin and whatnot. Like, but still, for me, it was plenty enough just to see, you know, Vader hustle up and get down on his knee and the Empire, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that was a big, you know, going into Empire Strikes Back, you kind of thought Darth Vader was like the ultimate bad guy.
That's right. Like, who's going to make Vader, you know, get out of the asteroid field, and he gets on one knee and go. And,
right. And Vader dropped to his knee in front of a hologram of a person who's half of his face is a woman and half of his face is a chimpanzee.
That's right. You know. Although that was another change. I had no problem with that change, you know?
No.
I didn't put McDermott in there. You know, it was kind of a fun oddity because it was actually kind of a creepy. That guy was kind of creepy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I've had no problem with McDermott showing up in there. That's fine. But, so, you know, that kind of goes to, I know you're doing this with your kids. So like that kind of, I'm still thinking how I want to expose, you know, my daughter to Star Wars. Right now I'm thinking original first and then prequel later. You know?
Yeah, it's a, you know, you can go either way with it.
Did you go 1 to 6?
I think so, yeah. I think we went 1 to 6. And, you know, it was that was cool with him, so. Because I kind of view it as, you know, then they get progressively better.
That's a good point.
1 to 6.
That's a good point.
At least through, you know, 4. And then 5 strong, and then, you know, 6 is half strong and half not.
Right. So maybe
just
I'm
to
thinking
end this, like, on a contrarian note, I will say 2 things. Number one, other than the fact that the special effect is entirely too rickety and obvious, I think that the Han shot first controversy is completely overblown and redonkulous because, you know, as much as people say, oh, it changes his fundamental character as a rogue and all this kind of stuff, the problem is they never pay that off anywhere in Return of the Jedi or anything. He should pay that off, that he's self-sacrificing, he has to die, which is what should have happened. And since he didn't die, then, well, big deal. It doesn't really matter who shot first, other than it's kind of jarring,
right,
the effect that they used to make him, Greedo shoot first. And then the other thing that I will say that's probably controversial in some quarters is, say what you will about the special editions, I am entirely glad that they got rid of that Ewok song at the end of Return of the Jedi.
Oh,
to me, I was about 12 going into that movie, and I just felt like, you know, what a horrible payoff. I spent all this time with these characters through 3 movies, and they focus on a bunch of teddy bears singing a song at the end, instead of the actual heroes of this entire trilogy, and the fact that they've beaten the Empire.
See, again, that's a change I'm not opposed to. In fact, I'm on board with, you know, all the different shots of, you know. I mean, it seemed like the party planning committee was on red alert the whole time.
Right.
So they're ready to bust
up. They heard instantly.
As soon as they got the word that the Death Star got lit up, you know, everyone in the town square, we're doing this thing. So,
yeah, knocking down statues.
They've got it all set up. So, you know, the Alliance or the Party Planning Committee ready to roll out.
Right.
Yeah, but I had no real problem with that. I guess it really is Again, it's the no. It is the no.
The no is bad.
Like, it really is
heartburn, like it does you. And I will say this: I'll still be happy if they fix that audio deal where during the X-wing attack at the beginning of it, when Red Leader cuts across the axis to draw their fire,
uh-huh.
And, you know, and it traditionally always had the big trumpet flare from John Williams' score in there, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And on the DVDs, they completely bury that in X-Wing exhaust sound.
Oh, nice.
Which you could tell that Ben Burtt was in charge of that and was like, you know, screw Williams' score. I got to hear my exhaust sounds that I put in there. So if they fix that, then, you know, I'll be happy with it. That was always incredibly jarring because it's like, I've only seen this movie a million times and this is just not how it's supposed to be. Step all over the score like that.
Now, you know, I am going to give Lucas some credit here. I'm going to give him some artistic credit right now. And in fact, let's agree right now, Dan, we'll table our original topic for next week.
Yeah.
This has turned into a half-decent little show. So that'll be our tease for next week. Who is the man we're going to honor who ranks very high in our esteem? I would say right up there with Ron Swanson, Harrigan, possibly Howie Long and Firestorm. Who is this?
Yes.
Vladimir Kulich. Right, Vladimir Kulich, so you'd be up there with him.
Yeah.
We'd have to assemble a crack squad of, like, you know, character actors, you know, badass character actors that don't really show up in anything except for movies we like, you know.
Yeah. Kulich would be on there, man.
Kulich would definitely be on there.
Holy cow, that dude is
bad. But anyway, I'll actually rest my case here with the fact that I'm going to give Lucas credit, actually, even though I think his artistic vision is a little whacked, with this no and all that stuff. I think that's a little wacky. I think it kind of puts the lie to Lucas is just trying to make a ton of money, and we'll see. Because if he releases, he'll release this Blu-ray set, and it'll sell a trillion copies. And we haven't seen this yet, so that's why I don't think it's going to happen. If he released the uncut original, you know, the original trilogy or whatever in Blu-ray, that would sell 10 trillion copies, right?
Yeah.
So if he is in it for the money, that's what he would do. He hasn't done that yet, and he seems pretty against that idea. So I'm going to give him credit for at least maintaining this artistic vision, no matter if I've got issues with it or not.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely created a marketing beast here, no
that's
doubt.
And, that's where he gets a lot of crap.
40 years.
He gets a lot of crap about that. But if he wanted to print money, that's what he would do. If you want print money, that's kind of I know that's a cynical point.
To me, he's clearly not in it for the money because look at how many movies were released, you know, a half dozen times on DVD over the kind of peak years of that format.
Right.
And he released Star Wars once.
Right.
Once. He could have been, you know, essentially, like you said, printing money on the back of Star Wars itself by just releasing different versions of it.
Right. I'm not going to say he's a pauper. I mean, he's a shrewd.
No.
I mean, I think he's probably a shrewd businessman, but I will say that, I mean, no matter what you say about his artistic vision, I think he's clinging to it, and even though it may be misguided in some fronts, I don't think he can levy that charge at him because he obviously, this is how he wants it to be viewed, this is how he believes it should be viewed, and, you know, take it or leave it.
And I will level a charge of hypocrisy on some nerds here, some Star Wars nerds, who, no doubt, I can guarantee you, rail about studios interfering with director vision and everything. And then, you know, here's a director who has complete control over his films and makes a decision that they don't like, and so they think he shouldn't have power to do this stuff.
I think that's accurate.
He owns it lock, stock, and barrel. He can do whatever he wants.
Regardless of how it made you feel.
And isn't that something that we always normally applaud and say, yes, the artist should have ultimate choice here. Would I love to see the originals released, or the films, the original trilogy released in the form that I saw them in theaters in the 70s and 80s? Absolutely, I would. But having said that, he did release them on DVD, albeit in non-anamorphic transfers.
That's right.
Which is the bummer.
That's right.
But I have to say, you know, I bought the two-disc set for the original.
I remember that. And that was a little controversy right there, too.
And I watched the, you know, 1977 version of it once, enjoyed the nostalgia factor. And the bottom line is, I found myself not revisiting it, revisiting the special edition, and so I, you know, sold off that little two-disc set.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe the compromise is Lucas gives us an audio track of the original, you know?
Yeah.
So if you don't want to hear Vader say no, you just click to the different audio track, you know? Audio track for fanboys. That'd be
English track two, you know? I mean, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Look, I'm telling you, I don't care if you put Han Solo in skinny jeans. To me, it really is. It's just that moment. It really is just like he just picked the sweet spot for me that really, you know, to harken back to some words of wisdom that Anakin said, you know, the sand gets all over the place, right? It's itchy, scratchy. Like, to me, that's like the exact moment in the entire series where, like, I don't care if he changed everything else surrounding that moment. To me, you know, that was my sweet spot. So, whatever. But that's
And then it's colliding with, like, one of the worst moments. Because
that's right.
I will fully admit, even as a defender, and a lot of times I defend basically because I'm tired of hearing nerds.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that.
14 years. But, I mean, this is definitely one of those things, like I said, every time I see it in any movie, it's in Iron Man 2. You know, Mickey Rourke does it in there. That no thing is just so ridiculous.
I have no idea why anybody
ever puts it right into a movie where they don't want somebody to laugh at it.
Well, that's Seinfeld. George reaches to the heavens and yells Twix.
Right, right. You know, it's that.
Yes. You know. All right, well, man. I think we got a lot off our chest. This is pretty therapeutic.
Yeah, yeah. It's just about a 30-minute show.
That's too bad. Actually, I'm glad you brought that up because I thought it was worth talking about. So we'll have to table it. We'll table this next topic, which is –
It will be superb.
It will be superb.
This next topic. This gentleman is worth talking about.
We got to give a hint. What can we do for a hint? Much like his surname, he almost can't be killed.
Yes, that's a good hint.
All right.
He'll be with us.
He's been in so many iconic movies that much like his surname, he'll be with us for another 10,000 years.
Yes, he'll be with us for another 10,000 years. And even if there is nuclear Armageddon.
Yes, he will still.
His memory will survive.
I think that is accurate. I think that's absolutely accurate. So there are your hints. Well, that's tantalizing.
Yeah, so, you know, I think we've thoroughly, I don't know, dissected the Star Wars Blu-ray conundrum.
Yeah, having never even seen either of us, we haven't seen any of it, so.
No, yeah, we've seen YouTube clips that,
yes, that's what we've got.
I think we all wished were not going to be true.
But that's right.
It appears that they are going to be. I still, you know, it kind of bums me out that there was not a, well, I guess because that was, somebody got the audio and added it to existing.
That would have been,
I want to see the blinking Ewoks.
But that would, I'll tell you what, that would have been D-Day once those Blu-rays got released and no one knew it was coming and it just showed up.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been Internet Armageddon. That would have been worth seeing, so.
Yeah. I kind of wish it had played out like that just to see, because I think the internets themselves would have been destroyed.
They would have been destroyed. they would have been like a proton torpedo up the exhaust port themselves.
Right. Or they would have been like Alderaan, you know. You'd hear
you know, that would be
a million voices crying out in anguish and then suddenly silence.
I think we'll have to explore doing a little Photoshop contest, utilizing your thesis of Lucas making sure his movies are like updated by the times, you know, so like give Lando a flat top fade, you know, all the fresh prints from the 80s, you know, put Luke in the skinny jeans, you know, maybe have Leia carting around a copy of Twilight or something.
Yes. Yeah.
Give Greedo the Robert Pattinson look, perhaps. I don't know. How many different things can he tweak digitally?
As long as they don't do anything, any digital tweaking of Lando Calrissian's gigantic-lipped co-pilot in Return of the Jedi.
That's cool.
And it probably undermines my geek cred that I don't know that,
I know,
that guy's name, although I know who Bib Fortuna is.
That's right. So, Bib Fortuna is a legend, right?
I can at least, you know, I have that much geek cred, but Lando's co-pilot, I'm not sure what that dude's name is.
maybe I wonder if Porkins makes the cut, because isn't that some kind of hate crime to have a fat pilot named Porkins?
I think so. I haven't said, you know, it better be that is his actual surname.
It is.
And that's not a nickname. Because
I believe
if it's
it
a
is.
Nickname, then Red Squadron is, they are a bunch of jerks.
No, okay, I see what you're saying, right.
Or his call name, you know, like Maverick in Top Gun. If his call name is Porkins, than
it could be worse.
Like, douchebags, like, Red Squadron.
That's right. It could be like back boobs or something. I wonder if he had to sue the Alliance because he was taking up two seats in the X-Wing, you know?
Oh, man, I like Porkins. I always like
him. That's right. You know, the Alliance is hurting for recruits. Their physical requirements are a little lax, I think.
Yes. And as we've mentioned on the show, Porkins was also one of the actor who played Porkins, whose name I cannot remember off the top of my head, also played one of the pencil-neck bureaucrats in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes, that's right. Nice call. Yes.
And he was Professor Zarkov's assistant who gets run over by
awesome.
His crashing plane in the legendary,
yes,
the Flash greatest Gordon. Movies ever made.
Of course.
He's Flash Gordon.
Fantastic. Great connection there. Wow. Yeah. Maybe Porkins, and we are not talking about Porkins next week, but maybe he deserves to be.
Maybe we should be. Yeah.
Because yes, that's right. Oh, man, yes. I forgot it. That's a good connection. I never considered it. You don't know his real name, but it'll always be as Porkins. All right, wow.
Right, so essentially we're committing hate crimes because we keep referring to the
actor
Porkins.
That's right. All right, we've gone. Talk about digression. Well, this has turned into a robust show, so.
It is. It's fantastic. We're glad that you joined us. Come back next week. We've given you the hints. Try to figure out, you know, who we're going to be talking about next week. And I guess that leaves us with just one thing to say. No.